This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
You have year-end goals. Constant Contact has what it takes to help you meet them faster. Sell more, raise more, and build real relationships with your audience with Constant Contact's digital marketing tools, all made to fast-track your success. Put the go in your 2024 goals with email, social, SMS, and customized marketing campaigns built for you in just a few clicks. Ready, set, go to ConstantContact.com and start your free trial today.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hey, welcome back to the Mark Cox Morning Show on a Tuesday morning, trying to get you out the door and on your way to school or work this morning with the latest information on what's going on. Sue Thomas has got the latest on traffic for you coming up here, and it's been a fairly good commute so far. I mean, no major complaints here compared to yesterday, let's put it that way, which was a complete mess with all that rain. We're in decent shape. This morning. Coming up, we're going to talk to David Stokes. He is the director of municipal policy over at Show Me. He and I talked about this at their 20th anniversary celebration last week, and that's the fact that there are some rural areas pushing for divorce from blue states, and you can't blame them, right? I hear you, all my friends over there in Southern Illinois. We'll talk to David Stokes about that coming up at 8:20. Ryan Wiggins at the bottom of the hour is going to join us here on set. So we appreciate having him in here in the studio with us. We're going to move him to Tuesdays from this point forward. He's been joining us on Friday morning, so we'll get Wiggy in here coming up in about a half hour or so. First, though, I want to get to this morning's top stories, Carl, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
I would be looking at all my leaders and going, did you just BS me for an entire 6 weeks before the election?
Scott Jennings knows how to press the buttons over at CNN. He was poking him a little bit because he's like, hey, I've never seen this many people suddenly want to sit down, Mika and Joe, and have meetings with Hitler.
Would you, as governor, allow state police and National Guard to carry out mass deportations?
We will not be participating in misguided efforts that harm our communities.
No, we won't. Katie Hobbs, the governor of Arizona, sounds like a valley girl. She's also not got very much on the ball because she claims she would rather protect illegal criminals than her own citizens.
So she helps us, she gets the hell out of the way, because they're going to do it. And look, there's a clear line here, and they can't cross a clear line. I would suggest she read Title 8, United States Code 1324III.
Woo, Tom Homan was back on Fox this morning. He goes, listen, first thing we're going to do is focus on public safety threats and national security threats, and there are thousands of them. Every governor should be in on that. All right, welcome to the jungle, baby. We're giving away some Guns and Hoses tickets right now, and then we played Guns and Roses in honor of them. How about that? Of course, it's coming up on November 27th over here at Enterprise Center. Five winners total for the week, so we're gonna give away two pairs of tickets each day this week. Let's put it that way. You have a chance to win a pair right now, 314-241-9797, and we will take Kim. You pick the number this morning. What number are we taking?
How about 8?
Caller number 8. Good luck to you there at 314-241-9797. I want to get back to these allegations that they're now making against Matt Gaetz. I haven't had a chance really to talk about that this morning, but I told you yesterday what was going to happen here, right? And what was going to happen here is the fact that they were going to treat Donald Trump's cabinet appointees worse than they treated Brett Kavanaugh. Do you remember those hearings where the people were crying in the hallways and they were chasing senators into elevators and begging them not to approve, all based on nothing other than character assassination by Christine Blasey Ford? Her word against his, claiming something happened 35 or 40 years ago that she never brought up before, and suddenly it was a world-class emergency because he was about to get on the United States Supreme Court. And, of course, their effort failed because nobody bought it. Nobody bought it. Not even Christine Ford really bought it. I want to jog your memory here. Listen to this.
I don't have all the answers, and I don't remember as much as I would like to. But the details about that night that bring me here today are the ones I will never forget.
Yeah, it was a joke. The Democrats went out and they had to dig up something. And this person who went to high school with him came forward and said, I'll do it. Whatever we can try to do to prevent him from being on the Supreme Court. And boy, what a horrible Supreme Court justice he's been, huh? Once again, showing you that there's no limit to the hyperbole the left will go to, the lies they will tell to try to prevent a conservative or a Republican from getting what they want. In that case, it was Donald Trump, who they were angry at for promoting Brett Kavanaugh. Well, guess what? Now the attorney for one of the supposedly underage girls that Matt Gaetz is accused of having a relationship with, something he denies, by the way, and it was investigated by the feds, and the feds found no evidence to charge him with anything. They're now going to take this ethics investigation completely extra jurisdictional, right? I mean, they're outside of their jurisdiction now that he's no longer in Congress. And they're going to leak bits and pieces of this to try to make him appear guilty of something that no law enforcement agency could charge him with. They looked into it and opted not to charge him. But they're going to try to fake the allegations from this ethics committee to make it appear that he did something wrong. Here's what they're not going to tell you. Now, Matt Gaetz was a single man at the time this happened.
2017.
A girl, he was in the Florida legislature, a girl allegedly claims she had sexual relations with him and claims she saw him having sex with another girl. But the key here is that while the allegation is that one of them was 17 at the time, even the accuser admits that he didn't know that. And, I mean, at some point, ignorance of the law is not an excuse. I'm not saying that. But they went out and they dragged out the attorney for one of the girls. And this was the interview he gave this morning. Just as more evidence that they're going to make this uglier than the Brett Kavanaugh hearings. Here's what's coming.
Time.
Did your client believe that Gaetz at the time knew that her friend was underage?
Yeah, so the House was curious about that. She testified that her belief was that Representative Gaetz had no knowledge that she was under 18, that she was 17 years old at the time he was having sex with her. They did testify, both of them, that they consented to the activities. They were also asked whether or not they were victims, and then she broke down in tears, and she said it's a very complicated question.
Did your clients make any assessments in their testimony about Mr. Gaetz's fitness or judgment to serve in office?
They're very careful about what they might express publicly, but one did say, I do not think a man like him should have that much power.
I want to let that hang out there for a minute. It was consensual, they both admitted. It was complicated as to whether or not they should have done what they did or not. But somehow, whatever this was that law enforcement could never find enough evidence to charge him with anything, any wrongdoing, the House Ethics Committee is going to convince you that he raped a 17-year-old girl. That's what it'll be a worse repeat of the Christine Blasey Ford case, because they'll say, well, it was only 2017. It wasn't 35 years ago. It's completely a he said, she said situation, just like the Brett Kavanaugh case. I don't know how you get around that. And that is a shame that they're going to try to drag this guy's name through the mud over this just to prevent Donald Trump from getting his pick to lead the DOJ. They're desperate not to have an outsider like Matt Gaetz at the head of the DOJ. That's the bottom line. Just a little preview for you of what's coming in that particular hearing, if and when it happens. We'll see. Coming up, we'll talk to David Stokes, the director of municipal policy at Show Me. He is talking about some rural areas that think they're blue now. They don't feel blue. They identify as red, and they would like to go through a change. We'll talk to him about that when we come back.
Good evening, everybody.
Good afternoon.
I want to know, how does it feel that Trump is in office right now? You see the Mayor Brandon Johnson, you underestimate us. You underestimate the black people, and you underestimate Chicago Red. We're the thorn in your side, and we're going to be the thorn on everybody else in this council member side, too. If you don't stop what you're doing, we're going to take matters in our own hand, and we're going to stop it. You know that Trump had pulled 45% of the voter in the state of Illinois, 37 in the city of Chicago. That's the statistic. That means that Illinois is turning purple. We're going to turn red.
Wow. That was in a Chicago City Council meeting yesterday. That's their message to Brandon Johnson, the socialist mayor up there. How about that? David Stokes is on the line this morning, director of Muni Policy at the Show Me Institute. David, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing great, Mark. Great to be on the air with you, sir.
Yes, sir. Great to see you at the 20th anniversary celebration of Show Me last week as well.
And, Mark, we can't thank you enough for your participation in that event and hosting it as the MC. You did such a great job, and it was great to have you a part of that big night, and thank you so much.
Well, you're welcome. Anytime you get to rub shoulders with Art Laffer, it's a good evening. I really enjoyed that. That was fantastic. So I know you've
got a magician.
Yeah, and a magician on top of that. That's great. I know you've got an article out, and I joked about this earlier, that apparently there are some blue state areas that identify as red. Is that correct?
Well, right. And what you have in Illinois right now is a movement that's really gaining steam. And I don't want to overstate and try to say that it's likely to happen, but it's very interesting, and it is moving forward. It's called the Illinois Separation Referendum. And they've now had 33 counties, including 7 on Election Day 2 weeks ago, pass this referendum that they want to separate themselves and create a new state of Illinois separate from Cook County, essentially, which is Chicago. So separate from Chicago. And 33 counties have passed this. Now, that's right about one-third of the counties in Illinois. And when it passes overwhelmingly, like 75% is the average passage rate. Now, of course, it's a little easier to vote yes when it's just an advisory thing. I get it. But it's really an interesting movement. And, you know, you have some things about it's the same thing going on in Oregon and Washington with some of the rural areas of the eastern parts of those states trying to separate and join Idaho. Illinois, I think, is more focused on creating their own new Illinois. But I would love, and this is where my article at showmeinstitute.org talked about, I'd love, somewhat whimsically, I admit, I'd love to see Missouri get aggressive and try to convince some of these parts of Illinois to not just leave Illinois, but to join Missouri in the long run. Obviously, this is incredibly complicated stuff, but it's worth fighting about. It's worth thinking about.
I mean, what's the likelihood that this would actually happen? Not even just in Illinois, but some of these other states where they've toyed with this idea. Because I know you've talked about all these counties, for example, in Illinois that have signed on saying, yeah, we're in agreement, we want this. But what would still have to happen in order for this to, you know, actually come to fruition?
Well, I think the likelihood is low and probably even very low. But the point of the Illinois separation referendum is to get so many counties to pass this that Illinois can no longer ignore it and then really has to start taking it seriously. And the thinking, I think, is they sort of have the West Virginia model. West Virginia tried to separate from Virginia before the Civil War. That movement had begun. But obviously the Civil War made it much easier for them to do that. So this has happened before. Maine did separate from Massachusetts in 1820. Obviously, West Virginia is the most famous example. So it's not like it's impossible. But yes, it would strike me as very, very difficult and certainly unlikely. But not that doesn't mean we shouldn't be paying attention to it. And it doesn't mean it's not worth the discussion. And I do commend the people in Illinois for these efforts.
Yeah, it'd be about as difficult as getting a plate away from J.B. Pritzker. I get he's not going to give up all that revenue from the southern half of Illinois.
Right. But you know, what's interesting is I think we've gotten so used to the nice round number of 50 states. We forget about that for a long time. We've changed boundaries of states and added new states all the time in America.
Yeah.
And maybe if there's one thing that can sort of kickstart this, maybe as another thing that happened 2 weeks ago was that Puerto Rico had another referendum on statehood, where statehood was the winning option of the three. So maybe it's time for Puerto Rico to get for the United States to get serious about entering Puerto Rico as a state. There's our 51st state, and then maybe they'll sort of open the floodgates for the greater Idaho movement in Oregon and Washington, and this new Illinois movement in Illinois, and some of the other ones around the state, some of which around the country, I should say.
Yeah.
Some of these are too small and not necessary, but look, 33 counties should not be ignored, and I have no doubt that in the coming years, dozens more are going to pass this same thing in Illinois, and it's a movement that the people who started it deserve credit for, and I'd like to see Missouri sort of be a part of it.
Well, David Stokes, we appreciate that. People can go to showmeinstitute.org to find out more. Thank you, my friend.
Thanks, everyone. Yep. Always great talking with you.
We'll talk to you soon. We'll be back in just a minute.
I searched for a way to respond appropriately, and I called on my 10 years as a litigator in addition to my now 20 as a journalist, and I think I found the perfect phrase, go yourselves. Go yourselves, you dishonest jokes.
Megyn Kelly not mincing words about Joe and Mika going and groveling at the feet of Donald Trump this
weekend.
Good
for her.
She's like, don't act like you're doing this because you're being magnanimous. You've been blasting him for 7 years. You just want to remain relevant.
It's so ridiculous to watch this play out. Although, in a sense, you're sort of glad that they're having to.
Yes.
Because they don't know what to do now. They're going, what? We got 4 years of this. This should be a time when people are actually seeking out alternative media. Yes. Because, you know, when Obama wins or whatever, 97.1 goes up because people are like, oh, I need like-minded people. I want to listen to the resistance. They could be the resistance. But they can't even figure out how to do that because they were the resistance for the last 4 years and it didn't work.
Do you think Joe and Mika, it was actually their idea to go meet with Trump? Or do you think one of the producers behind the scenes was basically like, look, this guy is going to be our president for the next 4 years. You guys have to go meet with him.
It's a good question. I've heard it suggested that they didn't really have much of a choice in the matter, that the owners of MSNBC said, look, we can't do what you've been doing for another 4 years. You're going to have to do something different.
Right.
I've heard it's also ratings-based.
Oh, I'm sure.
They were like, look, we can't.
I mean, look, we're all talking about him, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it works.
They're making headlines on every other outlet, network.
Scott Jennings said, I've never seen so many people want to meet with Hitler. So I think that maybe you were BSing us for the last 6 months.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's true. And it's also like, if you are a dictator, if Trump is a dictator, and you decide, you know what, let's just make amends with the dictator. What does that say about you?
Yeah.
Like if you are in North Korea and you've been like fighting against Kim Jong-un, and then at one point you just decide, you know what, let's just go along with it. What does that say about you?
You know, yesterday I was on Annie's show talking about the ATF raffle and all that. She was kind enough to have me on, and she was talking about the influence of the media on this election. And I Ryan, I think I owe you an apology. I'm like, you know, it's important that we provided information that people weren't getting from the mainstream media, because the drumbeat was, this is razor close and anybody could win and this is virtually tied and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, all that time, Ryan is bringing us these polls that show Trump up 4 points in this red state and 3 points in this red state, and he's probably being underpolled. And I referred to you as the poll master.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you did.
Which probably undersold it a little bit. Had I thought for a moment, remember Kevin Costner in Dances with Wolves?
Mm-hmm.
I think your Indian name is Dances with Poles.
I don't know if you want to go with that.
I don't really
Mark.
Know. I mean, there's good money in that, but I choose to keep my integrity. I'm not selling out.
Okay, I'm just saying. I think that would be a good name for you,
well,
if you're allowed
you.
To say Indian
the
names these days.
Czar.
Wait, was that your apology?
That's
that didn't
my apology.
Sound like much of an
no,
apology.
No, it is an apology. I think I undersold.
That's how he
how
apologizes to his wife, Ryan.
Was.
I tell you what. You know what's interesting? Because we were just talking off air about how much money Kamala spent and that campaign, the ridiculous things they mm-hmm. spent money on. They actually were effective in the battleground states. They just weren't effective enough. Because if you look at the secondary battleground states like Minnesota, Virginia, New Hampshire, they actually were way closer than they should have been. So she was able to gain a point or two in those battleground states by just spend.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't enough to overcome the Trump surge.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at those secondary states, you're like, man, the whole nation moved rightward.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
you're out in the cities, we talk about Chicago, San Francisco, Los Angeles, they all moved rightward in this election.
Yeah. Talking about wasting money, have you heard some of the things? I know Rand Paul's been pointing at some of these things that the government's spending our tax dollars on. What was the thing you were talking about earlier this morning, Mark, that Rand Paul pointed out that we're spending money on? I know one of them is trans
cocaine
chimps, cocaine for
quails
to see if it makes them more sexually active.
Well, we're all curious.
But, you know, those are the kinds of things that Congress has appropriated the money, and then it's in the NIH budget, and then the bureaucrats within the NIH get to decide which research funds, which research grants they're going to give. Those are the kinds of things a Department of government efficiency could impact, because whoever the head of DHS is could just say, not DHS, but HHS could just say, all right, we're line iteming this out of the budget. We're just going to scratch it out.
Well, I think you actually bring up an interesting point about the quail. I think maybe we do keep that in, but you're right. I think some of the other things that are not important,
well, that's
you
what,
could do that.
That's what DOGE is going to do, is they're going to make everything public. And that's what's amazing, is that Elon Musk obviously has this huge politically influential platform. Vivek Ramaswamy is fantastic with media.
Mm-hmm.
So
yes.
Rand Paul has been doing this forever, but he couldn't get enough attention for it.
Yeah.
Now you got these two guys that are going to be constantly drawing the world's attention to these stupid programs. And they're in charge of not just cutting dumb, you know, filler crap. They're going to do that too. But they're in charge of figuring out how to restructure certain things. And they're going to put all this public. They said, what do you think about this? Just like Elon always does. Hey, I'm going to do a poll. Should I buy Twitter? You know, these random things that he mm-hmm. does. But they're going to get a lot of attention. That is so great, because half of America doesn't think about, the conservative half thinks about these things, but we don't spotlight them enough. So now we're going to not only spotlight them, but the rest of America is going to hear about it too.
Play the Rand Paul bite again for people that didn't hear it. Carl, go to cut four. Listen to this crap.
Gin to a sunfish versus tequila, which would make the sunfish more aggressive? Nearly $1 million spent studying whether or not Japanese quail, if you give them cocaine, whether or not they're more sexually promiscuous. Was it one small step for man? Or was it one small step for a man? And in the end, $750,000 later, they couldn't decide. Was it one step for man, one step for a man? $2 million for the construction of a kelp and shellfish nursery in Maine. $1.5 million to encourage video gaming in New York. We might be better off spending $1.5 million to discourage kids from playing video games. $388,000 for Columbia University. Be giving a rich university that has $13 billion any money. $249,000 for the Baltimore Symphony. Give money to all the symphonies and we'd make them part of government.
He's the OG Department of Government Efficiency.
Yeah.
And everybody ignored him. I get to get this mental picture in my head, because on the video, it's Rand Paul standing next to a board with these things written on it, and he's pointing them out. But if they'd shown a wide shot of the Senate, my guess is he was in an empty chamber reading that into the government record, but nobody was listening. somebody's going to have to listen.
He alone didn't have enough authority to do anything about it. His job was to bring attention to it, which he did pretty well.
Yes.
But now you're going to have a whole agency whose job is just cut, cut, cut.
Well, and I think it's not like they actually have any legislative power, but I think their influence will drive the public to put pressure on Congress or Trump to be able to slash some of these programs.
Well, they individually won't have that power, but so much of this comes through these ridiculous agencies that have no oversight. And so Trump will have that power to go into these agencies and say either you don't spend this money or also you don't exist anymore.
Right. Like tell all the RFK Jr., hey, assuming he's confirmed, to tell him, like, hey, we're not allocating money
right.
for this.
Yeah. This is done, by the way. Interesting stuff. All right. So Dances with Polls, we appreciate having you in today. Remind people when they can listen to Wiggins America.
Sure. Yeah. You can. Terrible lead in. But Saturday morning, 7 to 8, and Sunday night, 7 to 8.
I'm sorry, we can stick with Pollmaster if you'd prefer.
We can just call it Wiggins America.
Do you want to share your OnlyFans account too?
That's now we're getting into personal stuff, and so no.
All right, we're back in just a minute.
This is your First Responder Spotlight.
Shout out to our friends in the Festus, Missouri Police Department. Thanks for all you do down there. Chief Doug Wendell and the folks. We appreciate the men and women and the PD down in beautiful Festus, Missouri. And shout out to all of our first responder friends this month as we celebrate our first responder Thanksgiving in November. And we're trying to help responder rescue. So if a member of any police or fire department or EMS gets injured, and they're out of work for a while and bills pile up, that's what they do at Responder Rescue. They step in and they help out where they can. So we're helping them raise money. They're holding a raffle. We put together an ATF raffle, alcohol, tobacco, and firearms, a basket of bourbon, all kinds of fantastic stuff in it, valued well over $1,200, I know, maybe $1,500 with the Weller and the Blantons and Stolach and Four Roses, all the great stuff in it. You're going to love that. Plus a blues jersey signed by Robert Thomas. I've got an evening at Lit Cigar Lounge for 10 people, bourbon, cigars, valued at over $1,000. Our thanks to them. And then our friends at The Range. Who donated a $2,000 rifle. It's a 9mm, 16-inch rifle, CMMG Descent Mark IV that's made right here in Missouri. And we'll have three winners, a winner for each one of those packages. All you got to do is buy a ticket. Text RESPONDER to 33100 on your phone. That's the easiest way. Text RESPONDER to 33100 or go online and go to 971talk.com, go to therangestlouiswest.com, therangestl.com, I should say, or go to responderrescue.org. However you get there, please buy some tickets. All the money goes to help our first responders, and we thank you for all you do with that. All right, we've still got Ryan Wiggins in studio with us, and Ryan, you interviewed one of the J6 prisoners, one of the political prisoners from J6. We tried to have him on this show, and when we tried to call him, we found out later that he had been placed in solitary confinement. This is a man who's yet to be convicted of anything. Am I correct?
That is correct. He still now has never had a trial.
Wow.
And that's the reason why you talk to somebody like that, because he's clearly a political prisoner.
What's his name again, Ryan?
Jake Lang.
Jake Lang, that's it.
Jake Lang. I've talked to him a couple times on the weekends. He's tough to talk to. We've scheduled things before where he just couldn't show up because he's in prison. He's in federal prison. He has to buy—actually, he's got a little fund now that people fund his call cards, you know, those little whatever.
Yeah, calling cards.
Yeah, I guess they're calling cards. And he uses those things to make phone calls. And he's developed some pretty good relationships with the media, partially because he's good at doing it. You know, he's actually good at talking about these things. He explains the situation very well. But he's in prison. And so when you talk to him, he's got people behind him yelling and stuff going on. He is legitimately in prison. He went to solitary confinement.
Why?
Probably because he was talking to the media too much. There's really no reason. He wasn't doing. He's not causing problems.
Why would that even be grounds to put someone in solitary confinement? That seems
because
like cruel,
he's a political
cruel and unusual
prisoner.
Punishment.
It is. I mean, all of this—that's the point—is against the Sixth Amendment, right to a speedy trial and fair trial among your peers. He got no trial Now this is almost 4 years going. But he sent me a statement. He said, hey, brother, I just wanted you to know. He sent this to a few of the media people who had talked to him. It's a shame you guys were never able to connect because he's so good.
I think we had his dad on one time.
Yes.
A couple years ago.
But he says, America, a new day has dawned. I'm coming home. You've witnessed indisputably God's strong arm delivers people from oppression. He's a very, very strong Christian, by the way. Who the Son sets free, he is free indeed. I can't wait to come home, start building a family with my amazing, steadfast, beautiful fiance, Rachel, who stood by me this whole time. 2021, he's been in prison with no trial, no charges.
How is that a thing in America?
It's incredible. And now we talk about how much this election means to really everybody. And we probably immediately think of, well, you know, the economy is going to be better. Hopefully he's going to bring down gas prices, things that affect us. Nothing like this guy. This guy needs a pardon to get out of jail for a crime he doesn't even know he committed. He says, Donald Trump, I commend you for the most valiant effort I have ever seen in my life. That is a man among men. Until the next time tyrants try to rule over free men, I will see you all at the inauguration, MAGA.
Wow. So he's assuming that he's going to get out soon.
He is assuming that. I mean, Donald Trump has all but said that he's going to pardon these people. Why would you not pardon a guy like this?
But he wouldn't see him at the inauguration because he won't be out of jail yet.
Well, no.
Trump's got to be sworn in to issue any sort of pardons.
That's
correct. And even then, I'll just say, if they've got evidence that somebody assaulted a police officer, they deserve to do some time for it. I think they do. If they can present that evidence, the people that were violent, that were really violent against Capitol police officers that day, need to pay a price for that. But this guy has been held for 4 years with no trial, and some of these people are just political prisoners of the Biden administration.
What do they claim this guy, Jake, even did?
They say that he punched a police officer. But again, we don't know because he's never been put on trial.
Mm-hmm.
And so he says, no, it didn't happen. It was getting violent around me. And so he said he was protecting himself, whatever. You know, I don't know. It would come out in a trial. That's how you'd know.
Yeah.
And that's the whole point is that he hadn't had one.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so even if you get to the point where he is pardoned, he's served his time now.
Right.
If he did that crime, he has served time.
Yep. Yep. And they did away with the one charge where they were trying to hold him for 20 years. So... Oh, boy. Thanks for that update, Ryan. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Thanks
always,
for having me.
Always. Yeah, absolutely. So we understand that Ukraine has now fired missiles into Russia. I'm sure Brian Kilmeade will have the latest on that for you in the top of the hour, right after the top of the hour. Annie and Mark in later today. We'll see you Wednesday morning at 5 a.m.
Get more at 971talk.com.